cannot wait for us to get started this morning. I have prayed and prayed and prayed about our time together, and I just want you to know that God has a rich, rich gift for every single one of you this morning. If you just believe that God has a rich gift for you out of His Word, would you just raise your hand and say amen? Let's go to the Father then, and let's tell Him that we are ready to hear a word from Him, and I believe with all my heart that He is going to do some great things today, and I am excited. Can you tell? Are you excited? Okay, let's go. Let's go to the Father. Oh Lord, how we do thank you, how we do praise you for this day, for this hour, Lord, that we can come into your presence. I praise you that we live in a nation where we can worship freely. Amen, ladies. And Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it's eternal. We thank you that it's powerful. We thank you that it does not return void. We thank you, Jesus, that you love us and you have a word for us today. I pray every single woman who has walked in here today, if she has even a smidgen of bitterness, of a grudge against someone, of anger, that she would walk out of here today with no smidgen. In your name, amen. Okay, ladies, you probably wonder why you have this mask, don't you? Well, it's because we're going to wear them today, all right? We are going to, yeah, that's it. If you would, everybody, please put up your mask. We all want, very good, some of you don't have your mask up yet. We all want to be very happy because this is how the image that we want to present to one another, isn't it? That we are just happy women, right? But let me ask you something. Have you ever, turn your mask over, well, you can see. Have you ever put a smile on your face, but inside you were thinking something else? Okay, put your mask up. You can wear this to church Sunday, you can wear it to the grocery store, just anywhere you go. We're just going to start walking around like this. I needed a little piece of string on there so we could just wear these masks. But if you were to be very honest and say some thought that you had going on inside of you towards somebody else, would you just, little bitty, get out your pen, and on that little yellow piece of paper, would you just kind of write that little thought or the initials of the person that you don't like or the... Let me give you some helps, because today we're talking about, as Plan A women in Plan B world, that we can be bound by bitterness, can't we? We can be bound by bitterness. It can be like this chain. Oh, did you hear that? I asked Keith, I said, honey, I said, I need a little chain for an illustration today. And you know, my husband, if you don't, I'm going to make him come up here so y'all can all meet him one day. Because I said, honey, I need a little chain for an illustration tomorrow. Well, he comes and he says, I got it in your trunk for you, honey, but it's a little heavy. Well, he brought this huge bucket with this big chain. He brought this chain. I don't know if he thought I was going to chain y'all up today or what. But he brought all these chains. I could not even carry them. I had to have Bobby, our maintenance man, bring these in for me today. But I went to my truck today, and I looked, and I thought, well, he brought an ugly bucket. I did. I thought, I always bring my illustrations in pretty little bags. Can you see this ugly bucket? To bring to church. To bring to church. And then he said, and I put gloves in there for you. Like, I'm going to wear these today while I teach. He said, I brought gloves for you because the chains are really rusty and really dirty. Well, I went back in the house and put on my blue jeans because I was like, okay, we are dealing with rusty, dirty, heavy chains, right? And then as I looked at that ugly bucket, and I'm out of breath lifting these chains. I'd like for you to come lift these chains. As I looked at these, and I was dragging them around up here in the church, I thought, you know what? Is this not really a very more realistic illustration of unforgiveness? It's not pretty. It's messy. It's ugly. It's heavy. I cannot tell you how heavy these chains are. And my first intention was to wear them the whole time today while I taught. Do you think I want to teach in this today? And I think Jesus has a message for us. Don't you? Some of us are doing this. So we are so excited when God forgives us of our sins. And then we are like the unmerciful servant, and we go up to somebody else and we say, you know, the other day, you weren't very nice to me at the office, and I'm just going to carry this chain of unforgiveness around with me wherever I go. Amen? I'm going to carry it when I go to church. I'm going to carry it when I go to work. I'm going to carry it when I go to teach. I'm just going to hold on to this bitterness. Amen? Amen. And Jesus is so excited for us. And then I'm going to leave Bible study. And I'm just going to keep dragging you around with me because... And I'm falling apart. And we wonder what's wrong with us. Oh, except we wouldn't wear ugly gloves because we don't want anybody to know we have it. And we want our smile on our face, don't we? So I am just a happy person. I'm a little distracted by my ministry efforts, but I am still going to just try to do the best I can, as complicated as it is, and hang on to my bitterness. Hello, how are you? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Right? It just doesn't work that well, does it? Ladies, in our inner self, that's how we look to God. If we are dragging around bitterness, unforgiveness, anger today. And so there's a very strong message that God wants for you and me, and that's that we would forgive. Now, I just want to see if you have ever had a bitter root. If you can relate to this topic today, have you ever heard Jeff Foxworthy, you might be a redneck if? Okay, well, this today is you might have a bitter root if. And I want you just to pop up from your pew if you... Diana just like, okay, put on your mask so nobody will know who you are. And this doesn't have to be you, but if you or anybody you have ever known, okay? This is not necessarily you. It's if you've ever known anybody, okay? You might have a bitter root if you see a person and turn the other way to avoid them. Anybody ever... You might have a bitter root when someone speaks kindly about another person and you roll your eyes, or you at least want to roll your eyes. Okay. You might have a bitter root if you chit-chat nicely with someone and then get in the car and start talking badly about them. You might have a bitter root if you wish the other person would move far away and you would never have to see them again. You might have a bitter root if you openly gossip about a person and love chiming in when somebody else says something negative about the person. Can you relate? You might have a bitter root if you avoid... I won't make you keep standing up. You might have a bitter root if you avoid going places where you know the person will be. You just can just raise your hand. Anybody? Or you know somebody that does, not you. You might have a bitter root if no matter how nice this person is to you, you have made up your mind that you will never forgive them. You might have a bitter root if you hold a grudge toward a person for something they did more than a year ago or a month ago or last week or yesterday. You might have a bitter root if you wrote this person off after they, and you fill in the blank. You might have a bitter root if you would rather die than forgive them. You might have a bitter root if you don't wish well for this person. As a matter of fact, it wouldn't bother you if something bad happened to them. In your opinion, they deserve it for what they did to you. Now, ladies, we've kind of been joking, but we all know that maybe we've been there or we know somebody who has, right? Yeah, we don't even have to play like. We can just say, yes, this is a serious issue. What are some reasons that we don't forgive? There are numerous reasons that we don't forgive, and I wrote some of them down for you, but I want to give you some additional ones because I asked my Facebook friends what were some reasons that they didn't forgive, and I thought it was interesting. They had lots of good insights. They said pride, resentment, bitterness, and possibly a bit of payback. You relate to that? You want to pay the person back. That's why you don't forgive. One person said, people think that forgiving means giving them permission to repeat the infraction, right? For some, it's a comfort zone. One person said, sometimes we don't forgive because we wear forgiveness like a comfortable coat. After a while, we even forget we have it on. We just walk around with that chain. We get used to it. Here's another reason sometimes we don't forgive. Often the afflictor has no remorse. Does that bother you? Which can leave the one trying to forgive feeling even more victimized, as if holding on to their feelings is the only way to hold on to the knowledge that what was done to them was in fact wrong. I think that's one of the hardest, don't you? When the other person just acts like they never even did anything, and you're like, don't you know what you did to me? Don't you know what you did to my daughter? Don't you know what you've done to her family? And the other person's just acting like nothing was wrong. Another reason is that we don't forgive is if we feel like the other person will somehow be off the hook for what they've done. Another reason that we might not forgive is that they realize their own implications in the wrong. Can that ever happen? That somehow we, too, are able to see ourselves a little bit in that mix of what happened and we don't want to deal with the situation. Why don't we forgive? I've listed on your listening guides some of the reasons that we may not forgive. But before we look at those, I would like first of all, realize our main principle today as we look at whether we're bound by forgiveness or freed by forgiveness. And that is the principle that forgiveness diffuses the landmine of bitterness so I can experience the fullness of God's plan for my life. Ladies, God has a full plan for your life and for mine. And when we are walking around with any bitterness on us, it can't help but affect our service to God. It can't help but wear us down. It can't help but hinder us being able to run the race that God has set before us. This thing hurts my shoulders and neck right now. And you know what anger and holding on to a grudge and bitterness does on the inside of you, don't you? It hurts, it hinders, it weighs you down. Some of these scriptures, though, that we want to look at, beginning with Philippians 4:13, though, is a promise to us regarding, can I really forgive? And we may think, I can't. I cannot turn loose of this. I cannot lay this down. But look at what Philippians 4:13 says. Would you read it with me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is our promise. Would you read it with a little bit more conviction?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. Now, ladies, let's look at some of these objections to why we don't forgive, because we want to look at now what the Bible says about it. We've heard what we say, but now let's look at the truth of God's word, because it is the truth that sets us free. First of all, we may say, I can't forgive. I can't forget. But we right there have Philippians 4:13 countering us and saying, that's a falsehood. Yes, you can. He says in Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through him who strengthens you. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 17:20, we look at this. Turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew 17:20. We want to see what God's word has to say on this subject of forgiveness and of not being bound. In Matthew 17, Jesus is speaking and he's teaching as always. And he says, because of the littleness of your faith, they're asking why they couldn't drive out a demon. And he says, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. So when you say it's impossible, that is not biblically the truth. Instead, what we should say is, I won't. Dr. Frank Minrith and Dr. Paul Meyer in the book Happiness is a Choice, they write and they say very clearly as Christian psychiatrists that the root problem in nearly all depression is pent up anger, either toward ourselves, true or false guilt, or toward others. They continue and they write and they say, any good psychiatrist knows that I can't and I've tried are merely lame excuses. We insist that our patients be honest with themselves and use language that expresses the reality of the situation. We have our patients change their can'ts to won't. I won't forgive. I won't move on. I won't turn loose of that grudge. Because the reason they give that is a lame excuse is they say the Bible tells Christians in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Today God wants us to hear these words because God wants you set free. He wants you to be set free of any grudges or bitterness or anger you have towards yourself. He wants you to be set free of any grudges or bitterness or anger that you are holding toward another person because you are not living in the fullness and in the freedom that He has given you and me as believers today. And if you are here today and you are not a Christian, I would give anything if you would get one of these little pamphlets from me. I'll give it to you. It's called A Woman's Choice, and it talks about how you can find freedom from the guilt of your sins in Christ and becoming a Christian. But if we're in here today and we are holding others by this chain because of something they've done to us or something that they've done to a loved one, we must hear this message and we must be accountable to the truth. Ladies, I do not in any way minimize anything you have suffered. You may have suffered physical abuse. You may have suffered rape. Your husband may have walked out the door on you. He may have destroyed your family for all appearance sakes. But today is not about the person who has hurt you. Today is about Jesus wanting to help you. And you are not helped emotionally, physically, spiritually, relationally, by holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness to another person. Actually, what it does, being unforgiving, actually keeps you chained to that person. It keeps you chained to that past. It keeps you chained to that wrong. And God is just like, you know what? If the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. And I don't want you to be chained to that person that victimized you. I don't want you to be chained to that person that ruined your life. I don't want you to be chained to that person that hurt you. Come with me now, daughter. I don't want you to still be chained to that person. And unforgiveness is a heavy chain. Bitterness is a heavy chain. We see here this excuse that the person doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Of course the person doesn't deserve to be forgiven. They're a sinner. None of us deserves to be forgiven, but neither did we. And Jesus did. Ephesians 2 says, we were saved by grace, not as a result of works. We didn't deserve to be forgiven. They don't deserve to be forgiven. That's not the issue. Deserved is not the issue. Third, we see sometimes we don't forgive because we don't want to forgive or forget, do we? Let's just be real honest. We don't want to. That's just all it amounts to. I don't want to forget what they did. I don't want to forgive. But ladies, you are sitting here and you need to put on your big girl panties. You are not your own. Anybody want to give me that Bible verse? 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Remember that. Memorize that. Anytime you are set up with a conflict, if you want to do what God's Word says or what you want to do or you feel like doing, you need to have 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 memorized. That is that truth that you have to take your mind to and you have to let your thoughts rein in on that. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20, Paul writes and he says, do you not know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God. You have been bought with a price. You are not your own. Ladies, before we go to setting our minds real hard on continuing to point our finger at that perpetrator who did something to us, are we living up to God's expectations of us? That's why Paul writes, Jesus says, we need to take the speck out of our own eye before we keep pointing the finger and trying to rule and trying to control and trying to say what everybody else has done wrong. Let's just get back to ownership over our own selves. And let's remember, as believers in Christ, He bought this body with His blood. I am not my own. He doesn't bring me into the discussion of, well, Debbie, let's talk about it. Do you think you should forgive this person or not? He's not having a discussion with me about it any more than you would sit there with your 3-year-old child or grandchild or person you're babysitting and say, well, let's discuss if you should run out in front of the car. Do you want to? Would you like to run out in front of the car? Well, there's a bunch of them right there. You could. Well, yes, we could keep walking around like, ouch. I just clung to myself. We could keep hurting ourselves. I'm going to have a big bruise. We could keep hurting ourselves, but this is not what He bought me for. I need to tell you, a few years ago, I sat in the parking lot of this church, and I thought I would never step foot back in here again because of how I'd been hurt by some members in this church. And I wrestled. And I thought, I can't go back in there. I cannot stand back up here and teach in front of this church again. I will never do it. I can't. Is that what God wanted? Did God want me to focus on a wrong done to me? A lie said about me? Untruth said? Did God want me to center my whole thoughts and be bound by that and never step foot back in this church and never open God's word in this sanctuary again? Did God want that? I had to put down those feelings of, why did you say that about me? Why did you lie about me? Why did you gossip about me? And it didn't matter the other person. Oh, no. They'd gladly walk through the church and smile, but I knew what they'd said about me. I can reign over myself. I had to lay it down. So I was free to run the race God has for me as a believer. You must lay your bitterness down, or you'll miss the race that God has for you. The best. Our fourth reason sometimes we give is we want to punish the person. However, Hebrews 10:30 says, vengeance is mine. Don't mess with me, girlfriend. God says, vengeance is mine. I'll take care of the person. You turn loose of it. You're doing a messy job. God says, vengeance is mine. Our fifth reason, maybe I can't trust the person again. Well, join the crowd. John 4:24-25 said, Jesus entrusted himself to no man. So what that you can't trust the person again? Okay. You now know that human beings, even ones who tell you they love you, or even ones that wear a cross around their neck, you now know that human beings are going to sin. They're going to fail. They're going to flaw, right? Okay, well, join the grown-up race, all right? We are all going to do it, some worse than others. But Jesus didn't even trust himself to all men because he knew what was in men, the scripture says. Now, you know what's in men. The ability to sin, the ability to lie, the ability to commit adultery, the ability to cheat, the ability to walk out on you, the ability to hurt. We now know that. Let's move on. Let's move on. You can regain your trust in your fellow man as you look at the Lord. But you do not you do not pull away from what God is inviting you to do in freedom because of what somebody else has done. I think a very hard reason, and reason why we sometimes don't forgive, is we say, well, the person hasn't asked forgiveness. Anybody ever thought that? Well, if they would just ask forgiveness. I was stuck there for a long time, I have to tell you. I thought, if they would just say, I'm sorry, I would forgive them. Seriously, I need to know, have you ever thought that? If they would just say, I'm sorry, I will forgive them. But ladies, they may never say they're sorry. And how do you know if they could say, I'm sorry? But how do you know they mean it? We are not able to judge each other's intentions. And what the scriptures teach us is the model of Jesus and God in John 3:16. You know John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And we had not yet said we were sorry, had he? He made this arrangement while we were yet sinners. And we are to model him. Our seventh point is, they can never repay me or make up for what they did. That is so true. That is so true. If you've been greatly hurt, they can never make up for what they've done. So let's just get it out on the table. They can't. They just can't. So what good does it do for you to continue to walk around saying, they can never repay me for what they've done? They can never repay me for what they have done. They can never repay me for what they have done. I think we've got it, don't we? They can't repay you for what they have done. We've got it. You can put it down. We've got it. We know they can't repay you. We know they can't repay you. But don't let them keep hurting you. Don't let them keep hurting you. Don't let them keep you chained. In Matthew 18, we have a great parable that Jesus gives us, a very strong parable. Strong parable. Now, I want us to look at it very quickly here. In this passage, it's a passage on forgiveness. And Peter comes up and he says to the Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Up to seven times? Because the Pharisees at that time said, well, forgive him three times. I'm so glad that Keith has forgiven me more than three times, or more than seven times, however many. And verse 22, Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, he wasn't limiting it where you keep a little record, but his point was, oh, no way, more than that. It's immeasurable. And he gives this parable. He says, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owned him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Ladies, that was a huge amount. That was millions. There's no way the slave could ever repay this. But the slave, it says in verse 25, did not have the means to repay. And I just need to say to you very openly, there may not ever be the way that your parents, that your husband, that your child has the means to repay. Some things have hurt so badly that it wouldn't even matter if they said, I'm sorry, would it? The hurt has been done. They don't have the means to go back in time. Our issue is moving forward. Our issue is moving forward. He didn't have the means to repay. His Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had in repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him saying, have patience with me and I will repay you everything. Well, that's ridiculous. As we said, there's no way he would ever be able to, but he was begging. In verse 27, the Lord of that slave felt compassion. This is a parable about us with God. There's no way we can repay God for our sins, is there? No way. But when we fall at the foot of the cross and we say, Lord, forgive me, then look what we receive. Here in verse 27, the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released. Would you just do this with your hand? Make it really tight around that bitterness, that grudge, that whatever. And now just do this, released. Released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave, now we're in the story. We're the one that's been forgiven by God, and now we're smack dab here. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, which was nothing compared, ladies, to what he had owed. And he seized him, and he began to choke him. Have you ever just wanted to choke somebody? You were so mad at him? Well, okay, he did it. He did it. He began to choke him and said, pay back what you owe. In other words, you make me so mad, I hate you. You owe me. Anybody? You owe me. And his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me. I will repay you. But he was unwilling. Did y'all see anything in there? Ladies, Jesus told this story. This is not my story. Jesus gave this parable so we could see from his viewpoint what it looks like when he sits enthroned in heaven and he knows what he has forgiven us and what he had to do to forgive us. And now he sees us holding grudges toward one another and he is just like, you have got this way out of hand. He was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. Now watch this. Verse 31, when his fellow slaves saw what that had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, you wicked slave. I don't want my Lord and Savior to look at me and say, Debbie, do you know how much I've forgiven you? And now you won't forgive her. You won't turn loose of it. You wicked person, Debbie. He calls the unforgiving one who had been the recipient of forgiveness wicked. It's not okay with God for us to be unforgiving and hold grudges. It's just not okay. This is just not okay. It's just not okay. And today he tells us to put the mask down. He tells us to live exceptional lives. He says in verse 33, should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you? Ladies, if we are the recipients of God's mercy, we're supposed to turn around and we are supposed to extend it. That's just the bottom line. And we may not like this Bible teaching as much today. We may just want to hear the nice, pretty stories, right? But ladies, we've got to get on with it. None of us are getting any younger. You know, it's time. It's time. We've heard the story of Jonah and the whale and Shadrach, Meshach. It's the big girl time here. It's the big girl time here. In verse 34, it says, his Lord, moved with anger, handed him, the unmerciful slave, over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father, Jesus says, alert. Wake up, he says. Jesus Christ says, my heavenly Father will do the same to you. If you, each of you, okay? This isn't just about me. This is about my friend if she doesn't. This is about my husband if he doesn't. This is about my child if they don't. He will do the same to each of you if you do not forgive your brother from where? Ladies, today, you didn't just come to Bible study. Today is a call of commitment for us. Jesus loves us way too much to let just keep us playing church and putting on our little clothes and coming and singing and taking communion. This is serious. That is a serious parable that came out of the same person's mouth that said that he would forgive us and we would go to eternal heaven with him. No, we won't go to hell if we have confessed Jesus as Lord and then we turn around and don't forgive somebody. But he says we are going to be bound. We are going to experience. This would be torture to walk around in. We torture ourselves. We do. How do we torture ourselves? Well, we see here that there are some dangers of bitterness and unforgiveness. And I want you to look at that very quickly. Because we are seeing here this principle that as a Christian, I live under a different set of rules. I live under kingdom rules. Would you just say that? Kingdom rules. Kingdom. And whose are you? Are you your own? No. Whose are you? Why? What price did he buy you with? Are you your own? You're the temple of what? That's right. We walk and live and abide under kingdom rules. This is the world. This is a kingdom. A serving and walking in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a kingdom. Are you ready to walk under the kingdom rule? Are you? Will you? We see here that there are real dangers of bitterness and unforgiveness. Bitterness and unforgiveness affects me mentally. Isaiah 26:3 says, "That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." I have to keep my mind stayed on the Lord and on his rules for my life under the kingdom rules, or my mind will be all over the place. And we've already talked every week how if we do not turn loose of these landmines that are in our minds, we are allowing toxic thoughts into our minds. It doesn't matter if I put this up here. If I've got this landmine of bitterness and unforgiveness stuck smack dab right here in the middle, it's going to seriously, it will affect my brain. My brain, instead of having these good, healthy leaves, as the visual was given to us, my mind and my thoughts will have tangles like weeds. Have any of you ever had in your yard a weed come up and it tangled around a good brook? That's what is literally going on inside of your brain. Literally, scientifically being proven, neurologically being proven, that goes on inside of your brain when you allow bitterness and unforgiveness and anger to grow. You are hurting your brain, your very mind that you're hoping stays intact till you die. You're hurting yourself. Another thing, negative thing that bitterness and unforgiveness does, it affects you physically. Proverbs 3:7-8, 4:20, Psalm 32:4. We all know, and as I've just done with this visual of on the outside, unforgiveness, sin. And ladies, if we do not forgive, it is a sin. It is a sin. So all of a sudden now, we're not just pointing our fingers at the sinner. We are experiencing the sin that we are doing because we are refusing to obey God's command. And the psalmist David writes in verse 3 of Psalm 32, "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, the torture. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer." Ladies, do some of you just sometimes feel like you're just dragging around, that you just can't get out of bed, that you want to stay in bed, you want to put the covers over your head, you don't want to get out of bed, you don't have any energy, you're so tired, you are so depressed, you are just so weary, you're just, it's just hard. And we get all kinds of diseases and ailments, and we're hurting ourselves on the inside. It's like this. We are literally hurting ourselves on the inside, and we have headaches and migraines and heart palpitations, and we don't understand it. Well, yeah, today we understand it. We see our third danger of unforgiveness and bitterness is if it affects me emotionally. I shared with you what Menrith Meyer said, that most of depression is linked to our anger and to our bitterness. Galatians 5:22, we are given the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't it sound good to turn loose of it? It's a weight off. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, joy. I said joyous a couple of times there, didn't I? Self-control. Bitterness and unforgiveness affects us the opposite of that way. It affects us spiritually. We just read how it affects us spiritually. How God looks at me and says, "Debbie, I forgave you. You forgive and get your little hind in that church and go back to teaching my word like I told you." And I have a choice. I can say, "Yes, sir." Or I can sit in my car and turn and drive home and not be used of him. I have a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice. Oh, ladies, it not only affects us spiritually, And I want to give you this scripture very quickly for you to go back and read on your own some. But you go back and you read Matthew 5, starting with verse 22. He says, "Everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing.'" Have you ever said that? "You good for nothing." The whole thing here that we're learning, ladies, is we are to be holy as He is holy. We are to be righteous. We are called to a different standard of living, the standard of living of Jesus Christ. We are to be His ambassadors, His ministers here on earth. We are simply not like that person who doesn't have a relationship with God the Father. We're different. And He wants us to act like we are in reality. He says that if we are presenting our offering up here, if we're taking communion, if we're giving to the church, if we're showing up at church, and we remember that somebody has something against us, not that I have something against you, but I remember you have something against me, I'm supposed to leave my offering, and I'm supposed to go and first be reconciled. And He says, then you come back. Then you come back and worship me. That's how important relationships, our relationships are to God. That's how important they are. And so we see unforgiveness and bitterness affects me mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. Our sixth point is it taints me and everyone around me. I tell you what, our sweet little Ruth and Naomi, we learned some things from them. But I want you to know that from Naomi, as much as we learned some good things that she did correctly that I mentioned to you, she also tainted other people. I want you to listen to Naomi in Ruth 1, verse 20. When she came back to Bethlehem and the women of the city were saying, "Naomi, is that Naomi?" And she said, "Don't call me Naomi. You just call me Mara. You just call me Mara. The Almighty's dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full. The Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me. Just call me Mara," which means bitter. Guess what? God never once in the book of Ruth calls her Mara. Because you know what? She was Naomi. God had a plan for her. God had a plan for her life. And you may be sitting there today and you may be spouting off and you're affecting other people. You are. You're affecting other people. As a matter of fact, James 3:11 says, "Can from the same fountain come both good and bad?" And we have this visual here. And if I ask you to come and take communion today, and I said, "Ladies, I want you to come and take communion. I want you to dip your bread into this." And here we have some bitterness. We have some vinegar in here. And here we have just some good, clean, living water. And I would like for you to dip the bread, and I would like for you to take off. Oh, your hands hurt, Marie. And I would like for you to take a dip. And Missy, I would like for you to take a dip. And Diane, I would like for you to take a dip. And here, which one would you like? The vinegar?
No.
Nope. I haven't forgiven someone. Just go ahead here. I'm making you do it. Let's see how it tastes. No, I won't really make you do it. But ladies, this is what we do. We are walking around either with the flow of the Holy Spirit in us, or if we have not forgiven, we are walking around with something sour in us, aren't we? And can you come and drink from me if this is what you're going to get a taste of? Too many mothers are giving this to their children. They're mad at their husbands. They're mad at their fathers. They're mad, you are hurting not just yourself. You are hurting everybody who comes in contact with you because this is what you're pouring out. It doesn't take a little bit of vinegar to change this taste. And you say, "Well, I just can't help it." Yes, you can. When you say, "I can't help it," you are calling God a liar. Do not say you cannot help it. Say you won't. But do not say you cannot. Because nothing is impossible with God. The seventh point that we see is it distorts our perspective. Bitterness and unforgiveness distorts our perspective. I want you to look here at Ruth. She said, "I went out full. The Lord has brought me back empty." That's her perspective. She said, "I have nothing. God did this to me, and I have nothing. I have come back empty." Well, Ruth, honey, open your eyes. It looks to me like you've got a pretty sweet thing accompanying you, and her name is Ruth. Amen? But was that Naomi's perspective? No. Naomi had her arms crossed. She's mad. She's mad her husband died. She's mad her children have died. She's mad at God. And she says, I have come back empty. I have nothing. And there is beautiful Ruth, who's going out and gleaning the fields. There is Ruth, who's the means by which she's getting her wheat and her bread. There is Ruth, who is going to marry an older man, Boaz. There is Ruth, through whom the child David is one day going to be born. And Ruth is sitting there looking, I am empty. Just call me bitter. Is that you today? You really have nothing? God took it all from you? Really? Really? Our eighth point is what we've already discussed, and that is bitterness and unforgiveness is a negative model. It is a very negative model. We see this in John 13, 15 through 16. You can look at that scripture later. We also see that bitterness and unforgiveness grieves others. It demonstrates an unmerciful spirit. We saw this from the parable of the unmerciful slave. And tenth, bitterness and unforgiveness reflects badly. It reflects poorly on Christ. When I walk around with bitterness and unforgiveness, Lord, ladies, it reflects poorly on my Lord. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men so that they can see your good works and glorify my Father who is in heaven. And when I allow bitterness and unforgiveness to remain in me because of what somebody has done to me or my child, I am being disobedient. It's heavy. It affects me, but it also reflects poorly on the one who calls me sister. Jesus said in one of his passages when his mother and his brothers came looking for him, and he said, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? And he says that the one who does his will, who follows him, is his mother and his sister. I want, and I sure have not always done this right, but I know what it is to do it wrong. I know what it is to do it right. And you know the value in having both, right? How many of you can say, I've done it wrong, and I know, okay, I've done it both ways, and so that's why I'm here today, is your sister in Christ sharing God's word with you. But I have to say to you that when I look at Jesus, or I want you to look at me, and I don't want you to say, well, you know, she's still mad because of what happened at her church some time ago. She's still mad because of what this issue, and you know, it happened, I don't blame her. I want you to look at me, and I want you to say, oh, that's Debbie Williams, that's Jesus' sister. That's what I want. That's really what I want. And people will look at you. They know you've been hurt. They know you have reason to be bitter. Please, just everybody understand, we all get that. But what do you want? Do you want people to look and say, well, the reason she's that way is because of this? Or do you want them to look at you and say, oh, that's Vicky. Oh, that's Carol. Oh, that's Jesus' sister. Oh, yeah, I see that. Who wants somebody to look at you and say, oh, that's Kathy, that's Jesus? How many of you want people to look at you and say, oh, that's Jesus' sister? Don't we? We do. So I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to clear this landmine of bitterness. And on the back right here, I want you to write whatever it is, whoever it is, the initials, whatever prior feelings you've had. I just want you to scribble that real little bitty because we're going to lay it down. We're going to tear it off because, ladies, God wants us to be this. He wants us to be holy as He is holy. He wants us to take this and He wants us to lay it down. And today is the day that you are invited by Jesus to say, okay, this is what it was. These are the initials. This was the year. That was the occasion. That was the person. Go ahead and I want you to write it down right now. Because in a minute, I'm going to give you the chance to lay it down. We want to choose to be like Jesus. We're told in Ephesians 4:32 that we are to be like Him. Micah 6:8 says, He has shown you, O men, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, walk humbly with your God. In Ephesians 4:32, I encourage you to memorize these scriptures. I did years ago. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Put it away. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. That is kingdom rule. And it is freeing. Second, add the cross to the bitterness in your heart. That's why I have the cross here. Do you remember the passage we studied in Exodus? How the water was bitter. But when Moses put the wood into it, it changed the mix. And ladies, I can take my bitterness, I can take my anger, and I can kneel at the in my home, in my bedroom, I can kneel and I can add the cross to my situation that I'm bitter about. And it changes things. Because as I have been forgiven, I too know that he tells me I can forgive. I add the cross. I add the cross. Third, pray as Corrie ten Boom did. I can imagine having been in a concentration camp, having seen my sister die under a cruel guard, and then that guard come and say, "Hey, do you forgive me? I just need to hear it from your lips." I'd want to slap them silly. I mean, that's just my human nature. I would. I'd want to say, "No, I don't forgive you for what you did to my sister. That is my flesh." Okay? Ladies, this course is about you discovering that you have more than your flesh. You have more than your human nature if you're a Christian. You have the very nature of Christ in you. And it is supposed to be expressed through your flesh. She did it. It is not a matter of feelings. And she says, and she reports to us, I wrote it for you in your Bible study. It is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. And she made the choice and she prayed, "Jesus, help me." And then she yielded to the Holy Spirit. She raised her hand to his hand. It was a choice. It was a physical, bodily thing. One of my good friends whose husband walked out on her and her children when they were little. Beautiful, precious woman. I emailed her just a couple of days ago and asked her about how long it took her to forgive him. And she said, "Pete never did ask me for forgiveness. It took me 10 years to walk completely out of it, and it can still creep up on me. I certainly had to forgive him on my own, knowing the extent I'd been forgiven by Christ Jesus. I was commanded to extend the same measure to Pete that Jesus extended to me. It was a choice, not a feeling. But eventually, it became a feeling as well. I had to consider the gigantic consequences on my kids if I did not. I'd already lost Pete. How could I bear to lose them too? And trust me, I would have." And then she went on and she shared how her daughter Leslie had recently said, "Mom, you taught me that forgiveness is freedom." We are not diminishing in here today anything that has happened to you. We are not diminishing it. We are saying do not continue to be chained and tortured by what somebody has done wrong to you. You can pray, "I leave this bitterness at the foot of the cross. I lay it at Jesus' feet." Ladies, you can forgive. When we read these scriptures that tell us to forgive, it is a commitment to a decisive and effective choice. It's a command. The verb tense is a command. It says, forgive. Don't run in the street. Stay here. Jesus today is saying, forgive. He's watching out for us. He's watching out for us when he tells us this. Begin to do it now. For this word forgive means to send away. It means to let go. And in the Old Testament, they had that scapegoat, and they would put the symbolic sins of the nation on that goat's head, and then they would send that goat out into the wilderness. Today is the day that you take that and you put it over here on the one who was your scapegoat, on the one who took your sins, literally on his head for your sake. This today is what we are going to do. This is our opportunity. God, our principle is that God commands us to forgive as we've been forgiven to imitate him. We can be like Jonah, who didn't want to see the Ninevites forgiven, or we can be like Jesus, and I choose Jesus. I pray you do too. When you say, I can't, remember everything that Jesus went through. He saw his cousin beheaded. He was scourged. He was pushed, pushed off the side of the hill. They tested him. They did everything to Jesus. They mocked him. They beat him. He has not suffered anything you have not suffered that he cannot relate to your pain, but he forgave. He said from the cross, Father, forgive them. Why? He said, they know not what they do. They know not what they do. Live out loud. Lay bitterness, anger, unforgiveness at the cross. Put it arm's length, more than arm's length away from you. Put it away, as Ephesians said, so you can experience the fullness of God's plans for your life. Love out loud. Do something radical. Love the perpetrator in Christ's power. Oh, wow, that would really blow the person away. Laugh out loud. Experience the joy of being loosed. I want you on the back of your yellow piece of paper to write one, two, or three things. If you still are having a hard time of bitterness or anger, you've already written that down. Today is a day we're not just learning, we're doing. And if you've already laid it down, just say, thank you, God. Thank you that you've taken it. Or you may write, thank you for forgiving me of my sins so I'm not chained. Thank you for freeing me of all my sins, God. But you write something down on the bottom of this, on this piece of paper. And as Nancy leads us in a song, I'm going to invite everybody, whether yours is a word of praise, thank you, God, for freeing me. Or if yours today is, I've hated this person, but today I lay it down. Whatever it is, I'm going to ask you to come and lay it down today at the cross, either your praise or your unforgiveness. And leave it there at the foot of the cross. So I'm going to ask you to quietly come. And after you come, I'm going to say a prayer first. And then after you quietly come, you may leave the sanctuary. But ladies, you will leave not like this, with this taint here still inside of you. Not like this, with that black, but you will leave today like this. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father, you invite us not to be two-faced women, one face to those around us, but you see our real face, a face of anger, a face of discouragement, a face of depression, a face of harboring grudges, a face of pettiness towards somebody that's done something wrong, or a face of just raw heaviness for a true perpetrator who has truly devastated and hurt us and those we love. Regardless, Father, you invite us to live by your kingdom rule. You want us to leave here freed. And so we thank you. I want, and I think these ladies want to look like your sister. And so, Father, today we come and we lay it down at your feet, both our bitterness and grudges, and, Father, our thankfulness to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you come now?
The feet of Jesus, all your fears and secrets, all the hurt you hold inside, lay it down, all the chains that bind you, let the cross remind you, you are free. Lay it down at his feet. Lay it down at the feet of Jesus. All your fears and secrets, all the hurt you hold inside, lay it down. All the chains that bind you, Let the cross remind you, you are free. Lay it down, lay it down at His feet. Lay it down at the feet of Jesus. All your fears and secrets, all the hurts you hold inside. Lay it down, all the chains that bind you. Let the cross remind you, you are free. Lay it down at His feet. Lay it down at His feet. Oh, lay it down at His feet. Lord, I tell you, lay it down at His feet.